fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Many in the law enforcement community are calling today's news a rush to indictment by a young chief prosecutor and ignores the fact we don't have all the information, probably couldn't have this fast, and that these officers are innocent until proven otherwise. Given that, the news is troubling. This city's police force has paid out between $50 and $60 million in damages to injured suspects who were admittedly subjected to a practice called rough rides, leaving one a quadriplegic. And weeks before Mr. Gray's arrest, cops were ordered to put perps in seat belts, which can be difficult in all cases. He wasn't. It's time to wait for all the facts. But you don't have to wait for the American Adversaries Drive Time's last one-hour show on AM 660 The Answer with our host, Christopher Hart.
Oh, don't have a heart attack, because that only means that starting Monday, we're going to have a two-hour show. Thanks for listening to us tonight, folks. That's right. You do have the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660 The Answer. Don't forget, you can always listen to us and a lot of great stuff at am660theanswer.com. We got a brand new banner up going up because of our two-hour show. Just want you to go there just to see the new banner that the promotions director Joe Ferraro put together for us. And we got a whole bunch of friends here, I guess sort of a send-off, as it turns out. We got a lot of breaking news today, folks. Most of it, unfortunately, is not good. The good news is, though, we will be back Monday with a two-hour show. We'll be here Sunday with a three-hour show. Carl Jackson will be here tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. with his show. So you got a lot of good radio that'll help you sort of work through all this. That was Lair Adams. I am Christopher Hart. We're coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist. I'll be in the chair come Tuesday morning at 407-678-3399. And ask for Dr. Hardy's book, Mercury Free. In the studio tonight, we have Aubrey Kahn, Firm Foundation Home Inspections. If it's Friday, it's Firm Foundation Friday around here. And if you are buying or selling a home or a rental property or a commercial property, this is the man you need to talk to. If you're paying your homeowner's insurance because you have a home, maybe you need to be talking to him too. He can perhaps save you some money on that. Today, we're going to be talking about, unfortunately, something that happened in Tallahassee this week with Aubrey Kahn. Aubrey, how you doing today?
Doing great, thank you.
Also have in the studio Dan Peterson from the Coalition for Property Rights. Dan has spent pretty much the whole legislative session in Tallahassee, haven't you?
Days and days. I think I've been there every week. Yes.
I tell you, it's been a mess up there, too, and they left a mess. We're up on the head cam tonight with Lucas Paris, so you can check us out there. Dr. K is here, Dr. Ken Vihek, and Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. So if you want to give us a call at 407-774-8255, pick up that phone and do it right now. I want to give a brief about the national headlines, and I want to go to the state news, and then we'll come back to the national news. All six officers have been indicted this afternoon by State Attorney Marilyn Mosby, and she gave in her press conference or her announcement, it sounded more like a political rally than a serious, explanation of these charges. She gave no basis of why these charges were brought. A fellow by the name of Caesar Goodson Jr., 45. I don't know how long any of these people have been on the force, but he is the one who was driving the vehicle. He was charged with second-degree murder, manslaughter, plus other charges, like involuntary manslaughter and second-degree assault. The other five officers, there were six altogether, five men and one woman. Alicia White was her name. The other officers were charged with involuntary manslaughter and second-degree assault and various sundry other charges. Goodson faces 63 years, up to 63 years in prison. A couple of the officers face 30 years, and the others face up to 20 years in prison should they be convicted of these charges. There's still a lot of truth to be known. The president has said that the truth is what everybody really wants. Unfortunately, I believe it's going to be very, very, very hard to get to the truth, in particular in this case. And we'll go over some of the details later on. I particularly have some questions to Dr. Ken Viek. He's a psychologist. He knows about the anatomy. And we want to talk about these injuries. Ken, once again, thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
All right. Just real quick, could this fella have done this to himself, first of all, in the back of that van?
Well, it's not very comfortable in the back of the vans. They're not padded. It's very easy to bounce yourself around. So, yeah, anything's possible.
All right. And that's what we're going to talk about later on. Aubrey, you have some rather troubling news out of Tallahassee. Let's get to yours first.
Yes. The conscience law, which was to give an exemption to Christian and faith-based adoption agencies, that has died in the Senate. And so now faith-based adoption agencies are going to be forced to do adoptions for homosexual and lesbian couples or break the law or close down.
Yeah, well, we've talked about this before. We had House Representative Scott Plakin on the show. He was talking about this. What this means is they tinkered around with the adoption laws, trying to make it easier for those hardest to adopt to get adopted. And in the process, they have now made it so that all adoption agencies, doesn't matter faith-based or whatever, must now adopt out to same-sex couples, as Aubrey said. The alternatives are, if the governor signs this, and that will be the next step, alternatives will be for them to either close or fight this in court. Now, the Liberty Council and Steve Gushoff has told me that they're going to review this and may take up the battle. And we will have him on in the near future to talk about it. But it is distressing news, in particular for the faith-based adoption agencies. They will be forced to put children into a situation that they just believe is not the best situation to put those children in when you have other alternatives. Dan Peterson, you just got back from Tallahassee. You've been up there pretty much. You've been up there the whole legislative session. What did get done? What didn't get done? We know they didn't get a budget done. We know that the big holdup is over Obamacare, over the state accepting the Medicaid money.
That's correct.
Enhance the story, if you will.
Well, that is not my main issue, but just briefly, as I understand it, the push for the legislature is to expand state funding for Medicaid and to get this extra money that will pay for lower income people to go to emergency rooms and things like that and help them get health insurance. But it comes with a condition that you have to expand your Medicaid, and the House does not want to do that expansion, even though the federal government is offering that money and the Senate does. And so it is a tremendous impasse right now, and that is what has caused the whole legislative session to come to a standstill, which was, as I understand, will be reconvened in June. But I do have some good news.
All right.
There were some good things that happened. Of course, with Coalition for Property Rights, we track the property rights legislation. And I am very excited to announce to you guys that House Bill 383 and Senate Bill 284 which is a property rights bill, passed. And this was the bill that I think I've been on the show before where I've talked about the Coy Kuntz case. He was the man who tried to develop property in Orange County about 20 years ago.
Right.
St. John's River Water Management District made him jump through all the hoops, which he did. And at the last minute, they said, we'll give you the permit to develop your property, but we want you to pay for this project we have about 7 miles away from your property to improve some water management stuff.
Right.
He refused. They refused to give the permit. He took him to court, and it took 19 years, actually, before the Supreme Court divided in Kuntz's case.
Yeah, that was last year, the decision, right.
And this bill puts into state statute the fact that a government entity cannot create those exactions that are so out of proportion and have no what they call nexus to the real project. So
that's a polite word, exactions. I would call it extortions.
Well, in
bribery.
In fact, it is. But this is going to put it in the statute. And this bill passed. It was passed in the House, sent to the Senate. The Senate passed it on the day the whole Senate.
All right, so we got a little something there.
So that's a good one. A second one is regarding drone surveillance.
Okay.
And this is a bill that protects private property owners from being surveilled with drones unless there is some imminent threat of terrorist activity or criminal, or there's some sort of judge that gives the permission to do it.
So the people down in Cypress Cove can breathe easier, right, Aubrey?
So they can shoot them down.
And so, you know, a couple of our Central Florida legislators, Larry Metz, a representative, and Senator Dorothy Huckel sponsored that, and that made it through, so it's on its way to the governor, too. So those were two really good bills that passed. There were some other ones that really worked with, but they didn't make it next year, but I think they'll come back, and hopefully that'll work. You know, the other thing we really were tracking was the Amendment 1 funding.
Which is about the water.
Land and water and the constitutional.
This is what we voted on last fall, and the voters approved this amendment that money would be taken from the dock stamps and be used to preserve or buy new lands.
That's exactly
right.
That's
the Everglades restoration, right?
Well, that's part of it.
That's a part of it, yes. And, you know, even though the environmentalists push this as we'll use it to purchase property, we'll use it to maintain property, most of the environmentalists have really come out and said, hey, this needs to be all put into the Florida Forever Fund so we can buy land.
Right.
Now,
and that's what the Sentinel has been endorsing, too, by the way.
Exactly. Now, we have been doing just the opposite. And, I mean, this has been going on for 2 or 3 years to say the state, you know, our state is already 28% in conservation. So how much more conservation land do we need? And I'm not opposed to any conservation that has some sort of scientific or really important environmental value to it. But just to go out and buy land for the purchase of putting it in government hands, that's not necessarily a good idea because it's not just the purchase, but it's the ongoing maintenance. This morning I read this from this is a news publication that I get. Online Sunshine, I think is what it's called, but it talked about and said environmentalists have criticized the initial proposals from the House and Senate, arguing that more money should go to the Florida Forever Land Conservation Program and to Everglades restoration projects. But Republican leaders in both houses have suggested the state needs to focus on managing property it already owns instead of amassing more. So we have supported that.
So it's still up in the air.
So it is up in the air. But at this point, both the House and the Senate have really focused on the management of land as opposed to going out and acquiring more and more land. So
all right.
Hopefully they will, you know, they're going to come back in June, and this is all going to be part of the budget discussion, and we'll see where it goes in June.
All right. Let me ask you some sort of inside politics questions. You're up there, you're talking to these legislators, you're talking to staff members, you're lobbying them, in essence. You're up there working with them, are you not, trying to help them make the best decisions?
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily I lobby them. I try to present to them what I would consider to be good government policy, free market principles, things like that.
Okay, and you represent property owners. Is the battle over the Medicaid issue creating hard feelings so that it's going to be harder to get other things done because personalities and tempers are getting frayed?
It could be. That often happens. I don't know what goes on behind the closed doors. I'm not that close to, you know, what happens. They say a lot of these decisions are made on the fourth floor. That's where the Speaker and the Presidents of the Senate, their offices are.
All right.
And what goes on between those guys and stuff. There's a lot of things are being said, I mean, publicly, and it, you know, it really sounds acrimonious at this point, but we'll see by the time the recession gets back in.
Yeah, and obviously they'll be working between now and then, presumably, to try to work out some sort of deal. And it's not as though the House doesn't have ideas when it comes to insuring these people, these supposed 800,000 Floridians would be an alternative to taking the Medicaid dollars and putting them into Medicaid.
Yeah, and that's correct. And I mean, it sounds to me, and again, this is not the issue that I follow, so I'm hesitant to really speak authoritatively on it.
Right.
But I, you know, there are really two differing viewpoints at this, you know, at this juncture. And Speaker Chris Afuoli has said one thing, and Senate President Andy Gardner has said another. And
all right, real quick, where are you playing tonight?
I am playing over at a place called The Vineyard on Apopka Vineland Road, and it's an 8 to 12 gig, and it's just it's a great place to come and relax. And
now, what would they serve at The Vineyard?
They do call it a wine bar.
Okay.
And that's what – no, it's a really great venue, though. It's very cool, and people come in, just kind of relax and have a great evening.
Yeah, Dan Peterson, if you haven't seen him over at one of our – now that you're back in town, when we do our next – we're going to be doing another party down here at Cafe Positano.
Oh, great.
We found a reason to celebrate again. We just needed another reason. So going to 2 hours, that's a pretty good reason.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
So you'll have to come down and play that night.
Hey, I'll be glad to.
Dan plays the guitar and sings.
I'm looking forward to next Tuesday because it's Cinco de Mayo, and I'm playing at a Tijuana Flats out in on Loma Avenue in Winter Park. So that's going to be a fun little gig too.
Right? Yeah, that's owned by
a friend of mine named Rick Brown. Owns
Rick
a
Brown.
Number of those.
Yeah,
he's a great
Rick.
Guy.
Yeah,
I've played a lot of his venues. And
yeah, we'll tell Rick we said hey.
Those are great restaurants, venues.
All right, Dan, thanks for being in here tonight. Once again, he's going to be at the Vineyard tonight on Apopka Vineland Road. Get on over there and listen to him sing. You heard him talk. Listen to him sing.
All right. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate
all right.
it.
All right. All right, we got a lot more to do tonight. Don't go away.
And away we go with more of the show, our last one-hour show. Please tune in Monday for our two-hour show and tell everybody about it. Okay, 407-774-8255 is the number. Dan is left to go over to the Vineyard, so head on out over there. And
sounds funny, you know.
Yeah. And
went for some juice.
Ed Reardon of the Honor Flight is here. They got a big Honor Flight happening tomorrow, so we're going to talk about that with him in just a few moments. But we have a few minutes left in this half hour. There was some other good news in Tallahassee. The 24-hour waiting period for women to have an abortion did pass, and the governor, I believe, is going to sign it. And that bill was sponsored by Jennifer Sullivan, right up the road here, our youngest legislator,
the
young woman who won as a Republican in Lake County. And hats off to her and the Senate sponsor. And I'm sorry, I don't know that person's name right off the top of my head, and there were other sponsors as well. And what this means is when women go to get an abortion, they will have to wait 24 hours. And we're going to have a fellow on the show in the very near future who works with young women. He stands outside the abortion clinics and tries to tell them that there are other options. So, but this is bad news, though, for the adoption agencies in the state who are very discriminating as to who they adopt children out to, and rightfully so. It used to be a very, very difficult process to be able to adopt a child. I don't know how difficult it is anymore, but it evidently just got a little bit easier for same-sex couples.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And we're going to see what the governor does on this one.
Yeah, it's up to him now. And, you know, as Dan was sitting here and he was talking about the Medicaid thing, I was thinking of the governor's leadership on this issue. Originally, he wanted the Medicaid money. Now he doesn't want the Medicaid money. Now, that's what I call leadership.
besides him having evolved, I think he's seen that. In a couple of years, the federal Medicaid money goes away, and the states have to come up with the money themselves, because if you cut the program, you're in trouble.
Here's a very easy way to think about it. Just think
no
Sunrail. Just think SunRail.
Good point.
Because in a couple of years, the federal money for SunRail goes away, and the doggone thing has to pay for itself, and it ain't doing it.
Well, remember the fun train?
Close.
What's that?
Remember the fun train?
No, I don't.
That ran between...
Oh, Mount Dora and...
It was like a party train that...
Yeah.
What happened to that?
It's
sleeping with the dinosaurs, right?
The locomotive is probably in some museum somewhere.
Right. And the same thing's going to happen to SunRail. I thought SunRail was supposed to be high speed.
No, that's a different, whole different
project. That's another one.
That's a whole different boondoggle.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the governor did not sign off on that one.
No.
Now we shall see what comes of this duel, if you will, between the two. And these are Republican leaders in the House and the Senate in the state of Florida here. Because the one thing they have to do is they have to pass a budget. That's the one thing they didn't do.
And they left early.
Yeah.
Well, our federal government sure doesn't seem to need to.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's different.
So, Dr. Ken, do you think going to a two-hour show is a good enough reason to have another party?
I think it's a great reason to have another party. Yeah.
Is a good enough reason.
Well, yeah.
Are you ready to go 2 hours on Friday night?
Oh, 2 hours on a Friday night? Yeah, why not?
I tell you what, it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Will your wife let you? That's the main thing.
Well, I got to ask her, you know. she might go out shopping. So that's the only danger I think we have going to a two-hour segment.
Watch out now. She's right on your shoulder there.
It's okay. I'm pinned up ready for the hit.
Yeah, the mall's just down the road.
Well, we're so fortunate to have you and Aubrey with us because we would not be at this juncture in the show's history were it not for you fellas and some other folks, too. So we certainly appreciate you guys and all the others that got us here. And all you folks in the audience, you too. We'll be right back. All right. We're here to stimulate your brains, folks. Welcome back to the show. That's right. You got the American Adversaries in drive time. 407-774-8255 is the number. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me now is Aubrey Kahn, Firm Foundation Home Inspections. If it's Friday, it's Firm Foundation Home Inspection Friday around here. If you need that home inspected because you're buying or you're selling, call Aubrey at 321-624-0254, 321-624-0254, or go online at orlandoshomeinspector.com, orlandoshomeinspector.com. Nobody will do as thorough a job as Aubrey Kahn, guaranteed. Isn't that right, Aubrey?
Amen.
Amen. Amen to that. Also have Ken Vihek, Dr. Ken, in the studio with us. We're going to be talking here in a few minutes about Freddie Gray. If you haven't heard, the six officers evidently the ones who arrested him and transported him have all been charged with various charges ranging from second-degree murder and manslaughter to involuntary manslaughter and various assault charges facing... The worst charges would bring 63 years, and the least worst charges would bring up to 20 years in prison. But in the meantime, we have Ed Reardon in the studio with us today. Ed's a dear friend of ours. He's been on our show numerous times. I can't wait to have a two-hour show when we have more time to spend with Ed and everybody else. Ed, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thanks so much for having me on, Chris.
And of course, Ed's with Central Florida Honor Flight, and they've got a flight tomorrow.
Oh, gosh, yeah. We head out at 0:30 tomorrow morning out of Orlando Airport. We start assembling, staff at 3:15 tomorrow morning.
Whew.
And by 4 a.m., we'll have hopefully curbside 50 veterans that are ready, willing, and able and excited to get on a plane and go up to Washington, D.C. with 50 guardians accompanying them on this trip, and where they'll get to visit and reflect at the memorials that our country erected in their honor.
Right, and they do this for free. I mean, the veterans go free because of your donations and the Guardians' donations. That's what pays the bills. And by the way, what's your website again? It's Central Florida Honor Flight.
The other way around. It's honorflightcentralflorida.org. honorflightcentralflorida.org.
And, of course, we're linked up on our Facebook page. Tomorrow you go, you got 50 veterans. Tell us just a little bit about those veterans.
Well, they age and range from 77 to 93 years old. We have 34 World War II honorees, 14 Korean War honorees, and two Vietnam veterans that are traveling with us as well, as honorees. In addition to that, we have a half a dozen other veterans that are coming with us as guardians to these veterans as well. Well, all total, we'll travel with 112 tomorrow. We have a staff of 12, four of whom are paramedics, and go along with us to look after the health issues and concerns of the day and keep the anxiety to an absolute minimum for the 89 to 93 year old World War II veterans.
And you said you had one who couldn't make it, who wanted to go, who was you call him a triple crown winner.
Triple crown winner. One of those
derbies tomorrow.
Yeah, one of those few that you meet that had served World War II, Korea, and Vietnam.
Wow. Now, when they get up there, they'll be treated royally. I mean, you guys get a police escort around town to these various. Tell us the venues that you'll go to.
Our goal for the day is to see that by way of the tribute that we treat them like rock stars from the moment they come into contact with us tomorrow, because we think that this is something that they have coming.
And they're treated very specially, not only by you, but when you get up there, you'll get a police escort. And then when you go to the various memorials, you'll be treated royally too, I take it.
I certainly hope so. Certainly the park police are very, very respectful of Honor Flight, and the public in general gives us a very warm reception. Tomorrow there are 13 hubs from around the country that are traveling into Washington, D.C., that will be in and around the World War II Memorial, the Korea War Memorial, the Vietnam Memorial.
You say 13? You mean 13 total Honor Flights?
13 different Honor Flights,
wow.
Different sizes, coming from all over the country.
Wow.
We'll all be in D.C. tomorrow and making their way to the memorials. So if each group is taking an average of 50, we have 650 veterans from around the country.
Bob Dole's going to be busy if he's there tomorrow, won't he?
And it's so great. The best part of the trip for the veterans and for us is to see the general public turn out to honor and pay tribute to these folks, too. They get greeted by a warm reception line when they're going into the World War II Memorial. And they'll probably shake more hands tomorrow than they have in their entire lives.
And now you are coming back tomorrow evening, and you'd like some people to be there to receive you guys back.
We love to finish the day with a hero's welcome at Orlando Airport. Tomorrow night we're on Southwest Airlines. Flight number is 1231. That's 1231, Southwest Airlines. And we arrive at Orlando Airport at 9:55 p.m. So if folks want to come on down, it'll take us about 15 or 20 minutes to get to the gate if you're able to get through security. So if you're able to come on down and be there at 10 o'clock in the atrium by Southwest Airlines departures on floor level 3 right next to the Starbucks, then you can be part of a nice tribute. We encourage you to come on down with some signs and posters and flags and get ready to shake some hands and thank some veterans who have it coming for way too long.
Dr. Ken Vihek, you went on the last one, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I went when, was that back in October, was it already?
Yeah, our last flight was in October of 2014.
Yeah, back in October.
Right.
I got to tell you, even the escorts have to be spring chickens. It was go, 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 go. By the time we got back to Orlando Airport, it was like, all right, yeah, congratulations. Ooh, let me go home and get a nap.
it's got to be exhausting, especially for the staff who has to be
but
there.
But it's a great day. It's very rewarding.
And you know what's interesting is the senior veterans in particular, all their neurons are firing from everything that's gone on during the course of the day. It's the staff and the guardians who are asleep on the plane on the way back home.
Is that right?
Yeah, the guys I'm sitting next to, you just talk. I'm like, this is great.
Well, who are you the guardian for?
A gentleman who was in the Korean War, the Army. I believe his name was Mike. And he just was really taken back by just all the memorials, not just the Korean one, but going through the welcome, like we're saying, Ed was saying here that you walk into the World War II and it's just lined with three or four rows deep of people just saying, hey, welcome and thanks for your service. And it was really impressive to see. Really was. And the coordination, what you guys do as far as getting everybody together and getting from place to place, because it's not long to get from memorial to memorial unless you're trying to get, 100, 200 people there at the same time.
Right, yeah.
Then it really takes a lot of coordination, and they're to be commended for everything they do that way. And we saw every memorial, I think.
We are blessed with a great group. We're making the same tour tomorrow, so we'll be heading over to Arlington National Cemetery, see the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown and a laying of the wreath there.
Yeah.
Then we'll be heading over to to the Marine Corps Memorial, Iwo Jima Memorial, and the Air Force Memorial as well. From there, we're off to the mall where we start at the World War II Memorial and work our way down either side of the reflecting pond to both the Korea and the Vietnam wall as well. So quite a lot that we put into one day.
Yeah.
And to Ken's point, even for a young person, it'll knock you out.
Yeah.
But we'll take very good care of our cherished cargo tomorrow. Okay. Make sure they have a great trip.
And if you can get out to the Orlando International Airport tomorrow night at 10 p.m., Southwest Airlines, the flight number is 1231, but go to the Southwest arriving flights by the Starbucks, you said?
That's correct.
Yeah, by the Starbucks, Southwest Airlines, arriving flights. And shortly after 10 p.m., the guys will be, and gals, I assume you have some women veterans again.
Yes,
this time.
We do. We have three women veterans that are traveling with us on this trip. But one of them was in service with the Tuskegee Airmen.
Is that right?
That's correct. She worked in a high-ranking officer's office and was involved very deeply in their mission.
That's also the fascinating thing about what you guys do, because you have all that history crammed into that airplane.
Oh, it's amazing.
The stories are phenomenal.
On this trip, I know we have a Battle of the Bulge veteran. We have a veteran that was at Utah Beach and a veteran that was at Omaha Beach. And that's,
of course, Normandy, D-Day.
Yeah. And these are just some of the stories that I know now.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating stuff, and it's great that you guys do that. And, folks, once again, when's the next flight going to be? If somebody's out there and they'd like to be a guardian, or if they know a veteran who hasn't done this, you know, if you know a veteran, this is another thing, folks. Get them in touch with Ed at honorflightcentralflorida.com.
Well, we have two additional trips planned this year to take 50 at each trip. And that would be on, so right now we're looking at September 12th and October 22nd as working dates. And we'd love to find the World War II veterans in our community and Korean War veterans that would like to make this trip. It's what we live for. We'd like to take you. So if you have family and friends that would like to go up and see their memorials and be honored with an honor flight for their service, by all means, reach out to us through our website. Leaving us an email is the very best way.
Okay, and if you want to be a guardian, or if you want to just help them out financially, go to honorflightcentralflorida.com. It's all right there, honorflightcentralflorida.com. Ed, you're the chairman of the Central Florida Honor Flight, aren't you?
Yes, I am, and I serve on the board at their pleasure, along with my wife, Nancy, who is right now one of the many people that are taking care of the last-minute details with regard to the trip tomorrow. It takes a lot, as Dr. Ken said, it takes a lot of coordination. I'm really glad he thought it came less seamlessly.
He didn't
know some of the things that went on.
didn't notice.
We typically have about a 25% turnover in the people that are on the manifest from 8 weeks back to what we have today. So that's always evolving. Matter of fact, we had four people drop off just in the last 4 days.
Because of health reasons?
Health reasons and personal reasons. So there's constantly a very fluid list of people that are actually going to be on the plane. But right now we're hoping that we've made that final cut.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, a lot of people, you know, the veteran is, say, the grandfather or the father of the guardian. You can do that. You can be a guardian for your loved one, for your family member.
Those make for the very, very best trips, you know. And typically children and grandchildren will hear stories about their loved one who served then that they have never heard before.
Right.
An amazing way to bond with someone that you're already close to. Because typically many veterans, they won't give an awful lot of thought. They don't want to give an awful lot of thought to what they went through when they served, if they were in active duty.
Right.
And so... but all these feelings and these emotions and the stories, they all rush forward when we can get a veteran to their memorial with 50 fellow veterans that are all experiencing the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Ed Reardon, thanks for being with us tonight. Go with God and have a safe trip, and we'll see you on the other side when you get back. And Godspeed and great job that you guys are doing at Honor Flight Central Florida. HonorFlightCentralFlorida.com. Great organization. We'll be right back. All right,
Welcome back to the show. And our last 1 hour show, because Monday we start a 2 hour show. I can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. All right. First of all, before we get back to the Freddie Gray serious stuff, I want to wish Kathy Santomassino a happy birthday. Her birthday is this week, and she has been a huge help to us around here behind the scenes. And she edits our intel brief, our newsletter, and she's doing marketing for us. And don't know where we wouldn't be able to go to 2 hours without her. Wouldn't be able to. And so happy birthday, Kathy.
Happy birthday.
29.
Happy birthday
to you. All right. And Aubrey also has some good news. You're getting ready to go to Georgia.
Georgia. Yes.
My home state.
So it's going to be a short week for me in the Orlando market next week. So you won't be having to listen to me for too much.
No, man. People are going to be disappointed. Now, don't say that. They won't tune in.
Oh, I'll be back.
But you're going up there. Why?
My eldest daughter's graduating with a degree in chemistry and
summa cum laude, folks.
Yeah,
summa cum laude. That's the top. That's the highest GPAs. I think. Yeah. What does it have to be to get summa cum laude? It's like 3.9 to 4.0, isn't it?
That's it. Yep.
I was magna cum laude, and my GPA was 3.69. That's how I remember it. 3.69. Is that what?
Cum laude over here.
And he's cum laude. So what was yours, about 3.5 or something?
Yeah.
So she's a smart girl.
Yeah,
in chemistry.
High school.
In chemistry.
Yeah. There you go.
All right.
I'm glad she's not following in my footsteps.
All right. Well, Dr. Ken VX is a smart guy, too, as is his wife. They're both PhDs.
And I think we were both summas.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Summa, look at you.
Sorry.
All right.
Now, you look at me, I'm a sumo.
Hey, sumo. Put an O on the end of it there for no reason.
We'll be talking.
I'm not going to tie you down. Sorry.
Listen, we're going to be talking more Sunday night about the politics behind the indictment, because I think there's a lot of politics behind this indictment that came, these indictments that came out for these six police officers today. So part of the politics is they wanted to head off another riot. They don't know how to handle these things, evidently, without filing hastily filed charges. Now, perhaps there is legitimacy to these charges, perhaps not. But it seems to me that they're pretty quick to get to that stage. First of all, do you think so, Ken? And second of all, do you think that there is enough known that we can make any sort of conclusion at this point, from what you know?
From what I know and what I've heard and read up on, let me answer the back part of that question first. No, I don't think that there is enough evidence to be making that type of decision. Now, why that decision was made could be a couple of different reasons. Could be to quell everything, to satiate the people, to get them to disperse, to do whatever. But also, it could be a little bit darker of a reasoning if you think about it. We call this technique priming in psychology.
What do you mean by priming?
Well, if you already put out there that we've got this indictment, and therefore we've got we have more than enough evidence to lead to taking this to trial, and then when it goes to trial, you can expect a conviction. That's a priming. And that's what's being said out there, even though there's not enough evidence that has been gathered.
Right.
So if you were to do a news story, if you're going to read something, and you just read the headlines or the bold print of that article, and then went back and read the entire article, the priming that occurs by you reading just the bold print of the article first gets the mind in action and gets it thinking in a certain direction, so that when you read it, you absorb the information faster.
I see. But in this case, can the priming lead to false expectations?
Yes.
That's the dark side of it,
yes. Because then people will think, and remember, when I wrote for The Tonight Show, we wrote because the general populace has a memory of 3 days, okay, an active memory, and then it just goes back. So when you do this, 3 days from now, 4 days from now, people are going to think these guys were already convicted.
And they're going to expect them to be.
Exactly.
So if they are doing this to quell the restless natives, as it were, mm-hmm. They may just be postponing this.
Yeah, and not postponing, but also what they may be doing is they may be setting themselves up for something that may or may not occur down the line. But that's the way people are going to be thinking. So one of the fallouts from them doing this could be that people will walk away from this believing that it was already done.
Right.
And then when it doesn't happen, or if it does happen, then it may spark another series of these.
All right. The thought is that this guy was given a rough ride. If that is the case, it would seem that it would be fairly easy to produce some evidence of that, because evidently there are, like, many cities around the country now, and it started over in England. When was it that you went to England, Lair?
London.
When? When was that?
Oh,
that was like 20 years ago?
Yeah.
And remember I told you that wherever you went in that city, you were going to be on a video camera?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is in many cities here in the United States now, some 20 years later. Mm-hmm. And evidently there were a lot of cameras that could see this van as it was going through the city. Now, the one camera angle that we have seen was actually a private video camera, I guess, at a gas station.
Of him being put in
van? That was the police videos, I believe that.
But that stop was unrecorded.
Yeah, unrecorded stop. The guy may have had to take a leak. Who knows? But evidently he didn't report the stop, and that's the suspicious thing, if you want to use that word. But it would seem that if he was given the rough ride, either the officers knew which roads you could do that on, or it would have been caught on some one of these cameras, because they're pretty much ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, let's just assume that it was a rough ride, and yes, you could have been injured severely in this. Do you think that could have caused his death? And also, do you think that he could have done this himself? In other words, made the ride rough for himself?
Well, the answer is yes to both of those. Until we get all the facts, you know, everything's speculation. But is it possible for somebody to toss themselves around if they're not buckled in? Yeah. Is it possible for them to be slammed up against the side of a van by making a rough turn like that? Sure.
Yeah.
So all these things are possible. That's the whole problem.
Well, one of the troubling things is what Lair mentioned, I believe, in his opening remarks, and that is that they were instructed to secure these people in the van.
Weeks before, everyone has to do that. There's no more any just throwing them in there and whatever.
Yeah.
And that was ignored.
Right. Yeah. Now, that is a new policy. It is a new policy, and it's quite possible that it slipped their mind, or they decided that in this case that maybe they didn't warrant that. I mean, the guy had gone limp. Now, he's been arrested 20 times, folks.
20 plus, I think.
He was no novice at this. He kind of knew what to do to make it difficult for the police to arrest him. And he did that. It's like protesters. They are trained how to make it difficult for the police. Mm-hmm. You go limp.
You go limp.
That makes it difficult or you struggle, you fight. And then he could have been trying to injure himself so that he would not go to jail, but that he would go to a hospital first and be processed there. And evidently, that is one of the techniques, if you will, of people who are arrested in Baltimore to try to get out of the arrest.
But wasn't he also awaiting two different trials for previous incidents?
And evidently, the reason they think that he was running away is evidently they think that they saw him making a drug transaction. There's a lot that we don't know about this. And I don't think the prosecutor knows much more than we do, which is why I believe it's a tragedy. Maybe these charges are warranted, but I don't think that they are warranted right now. I don't think that perhaps they are warranted at all, at least not these severe of charges. But I don't know the facts. We're going to try and find them out, though. Thank God we're going to have more time next week. We're out of time.
See ya.
Night, everybody.
Good night.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. 105.5 W280 CJOVW. AM 660, The Answer.